Would you turn in your Bibles to the book of Ruth? And we'll begin our study tonight in chapter 2, where we left off the last time. Ruth is just four chapters long. It's like Zephaniah was, very short, but it's filled with just a lot of wonderful illustration of the love of God. And it's a love story, and it's also a story of redemption. And it's a story that I think stands out in a way that should remind us of God's loving kindness toward all of us. It's a very good picture, really, of the relationship that we can have with our Lord, as it's illustrated by Ruth and the man that we're going to be introduced to today, who is a type of Jesus in that sense. His name is Boaz, which means strengthened or strength. As a matter of fact, I was thinking some time ago, and I'm not really sure if it's accurate, but my name, Norman, is supposedly strength. I don't really know what language it was originally intended to be derived from, but I think it was probably some of the European nations that where that name was used. But I don't really think I've got that much strength, but I do have enough to keep me going from day to day. But this man Boaz certainly was a man of great strength in character, and also he was a very well-known man in that area of the nation of Israel, in that little community known as Bethlehem Ephrathah. Boaz was a descendant of Perez, who was one of the descendants of Judah. So we know that he's of the tribe of Judah, and of course we know his lineage that follows after him leads us to first David, and then ultimately to Jesus Christ. But here in chapter 2 of the book of Ruth, we find the story developing in a relationship that will finally become that which is what we all will expect to see at the end of the story. They become husband and wife. This man Boaz, apparently somewhat older than Ruth, we don't know for certain, but that is the implication, yet there's no mention of his either having been married before or whether he is presently married. We don't really know the details, but it's assumed again in the text that he is apparently a bachelor, and he is again older, but I'm not sure how much older than this young woman, Ruth. But chapter 2 is where we find some details about some of those things that we know that should be characteristics that we should have with our relationship with our Lord. So let's begin. Chapter 2, verse 1 says, "There was a relative of Naomi's husband, a man of great wealth, of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. So Ruth the Moabitess said to Naomi, 'Please let me go to the field and glean heads of grain after him in whose sight I may find favor.' And she said to her, 'Go, my daughter.' Then she left and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And she happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the family of Elimelech." Now again, we're told that the man is very wealthy and he's very well known in the community. He's a relative of Elimelech. It just says that he's one of the family of Elimelech. It doesn't mean that he's the closest relative, but he is a relative. Ruth does not know that. Ruth is just simply asking Naomi, after they now have arrived in Bethlehem and having gotten settled into Naomi's home, that must have been quite a task after 10 years of their absence, for Naomi to come back to her home and be able to move in again and get settled. And now they've come to the place where they've got to do something in order to survive because they don't have any employment. They don't have any men to depend on at this stage. And so Naomi is willing to let Ruth go out into the fields to glean some produce, some corn or some wheat, whatever is available to them, so that they can have some food to eat. That gleaning process was something that God had arranged for in the nation of Israel for those who could not support themselves. In the book of Deuteronomy and also in the book of Leviticus, and we talked about that the last time, that the farmers who were harvesting their crops would only pass through their fields once, leaving unripe fruit or missing certain stalks of grain and not being able then to go back and get that which was left. They were only to pass by once and then leave the remainder for those who were poor, who could go then into the field after them and glean the remaining fruit or produce from that field. Also, they were to leave certain of the amounts of the territory, the corners of their field, for that very purpose as well. It was their welfare system, and it worked remarkably well. In the time of the judges, not everybody was willing to do the things that God had commanded in the law. But apparently there were some. And this young woman, a Moabitess, would not have been welcomed because she was a foreigner. It was for the people of God, not the outsiders. So it was pretty difficult for Naomi to let Ruth go, but they had this need. They needed to have food. And I think it must have been reluctantly that Naomi said, yes, go ahead. Check it out. See if you can get into a field and see if you can get permission to glean from that person's field. Ruth doesn't go according to the facts that Naomi knew, who were relatives of Naomi. She just went out and went, apparently, into the field that she chose just by accident. It happened to be. That's what we're told. It happened to be a field belonging to Boaz. Speaking a little bit about circumstances or happenstance, there is no word in the Hebrew language for coincidence. It seems to be a coincidence, and it was by chance, yes, according to what was spoken here in verse 3, that she happened to come across this particular field that belonged to Boaz. That is, I'm certain, not a surprise to God. Anything that happens in our lives that seem like circumstances, that seem coincidental, are there because they happen because God allows it. God directs us. One of the things that I'm convinced of, and the Word of God speaks it very clearly, a man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. And God was directing the steps of Naomi and Ruth every step of the way. While they were still in Moab and still going through the very difficult times that they had experienced in Moab with the loss of their husbands, while they were making that decision after 10 years in Moab to come back to Israel, God was in that. None of that was coincidental. It was God's way of leading them back into the land. Not only Naomi, but he had a purpose in bringing Ruth back with her to become the woman that God intended for her to be. So Naomi has said, yes, go ahead. Ruth chooses to go to this one particular field, unaware of who it belonged to. She comes up to the master of the reapers and she asks permission to do that which others were able to do because of the fact that they were part of the nation of Israel, but she was not. She had to get permission, and she was granted that permission. And she apparently began working through the course of the early morning hours, and the master of the reapers took note of her. And that's what plays into the story next. It tells us in verse 4, "Now behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said to the reapers, 'The Lord be with you.' And they answered him, 'The Lord bless you.'" This tells me something about the character of Boaz. I hope it is clear to you as well. He was a man of faith. He was one who trusted in the Lord and who served, I believe, the Lord God as best as he was able in that particular time of the nation of Israel in which he lived. But it's important that he had a relationship with the people who worked for him. You notice that he comes to them and says, "The Lord be with you." There's no indication that he is a man of great authority who rules over the people under him in a way that is oppressive. Contrarily, he is a very, very wonderful man who loves the people who work for him and treats them very well and kindly respects them. And they respect him. Again, their response is, "And the Lord bless you." So there's a great relationship that Boaz has with the people that work for him. That's a good sign of his character. It tells us in verse 5, "Then Boaz said to his servant who was in charge of the reapers, 'Well, whose young woman is this?'" He took note of the fact that Ruth was in the field gleaning, and he noticed her and wondered, "I've not seen this woman before. Tell me what you know about her." So verse 6 says, "The servant who was in charge of the reapers answered and said, 'This is a young Moabite woman who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab. And she said, please let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves.' So she came and has continued from morning until now, though she rested a little in the house." So what we find out is this man who is in charge of the reapers allowed Ruth to start gleaning and only had gotten that information that she was a Moabite woman who had come back from Moab with Naomi. He doesn't know any more details about her than that, except for this, that she's a hard worker. He observed her right from the very beginning. She worked hard. She worked among the reapers, and she came and she worked until that very time, with only taking a short time for rest, which was quite amazing. He was impressed with her. She showed her character in her work ethic. And that's something that stands out again to me, that's very, very commendable for any one of us to display our character through what we do in the presence of others. What we do speaks more loudly, my friends, than the words we speak. And this woman was already proving herself to be a very dependable, hard worker. And that was noticed by the reap master. Boaz, on the other hand, knew something about Naomi's situation and knew about Ruth. Although apparently he had never met her, he had heard the facts that were given by many in the community. They were talking about Naomi's return and how she had come back with her daughter-in-law. They both had lost their husbands in Moab, and it was a terrible tragedy that had taken place in their lives, but now they're back in Israel. And Ruth and Naomi have been very, very obviously having a difficult time until this present hour. Boaz is aware of all of that. And so it says in verse 8, "Then Boaz said to Ruth, 'You will listen, my daughter, will you not? Do not go to glean in any other field, nor go from here, but stay close by my young women. Let your eyes be on the field which they reap, and go after them. Have I not commanded the young men not to touch you? And when you are thirsty, go to the vessels and drink from what the young men have drawn. So what he's telling her is, I will protect you. Again, his integrity, his character is greatly demonstrated in these words that he's spoken to Ruth. Again, it's very likely that Ruth was, if she had gone to some other field, perhaps she could have been the target of young men. It seems to be very, very clear in the Hebrew wording that he's protecting her from any young man who might try to take advantage of her. And we'll see that again later on in the end of chapter 2. That time was not a very, very highly religious time for the people of God. This man was a very wealthy but very religious man as well. And he wanted to protect her from harm. And he knew, because he had been told about Ruth, that she was worthy of his protection and that Naomi would appreciate it very much if he were to allow her to stay and reap in his field. So he gives her this basic set of instructions. And it's quite a blessing to Ruth. She's amazed at his offering of such grace. So it says in verse 10, so she fell on her face and bowed down to the ground and said to him, why have I found favor in your eyes that you should take notice of me since I am a foreigner? What a wonderful expression of amazement that this man would count her worthy of being able to stay in that field and glean from his field that which would keep her and Naomi alive. Amazing picture here of us in our salvation. I remember many, many years ago, Sandy and I were attending a church in Bath, Maine, and one Sunday night, pastor was doing a question and answer kind of thing, and he asked a question and expected some of us who would respond to give our answer. And the question was this: when you get to heaven, what will your first question be to the Lord? And there were many who gave their answers to that. Good answers, yes. But one of them that stands out still in my mind was a question that was asked by a woman who was in her 90s in attendance that night. And she stood up and she gave her answer. She said, when I get to heaven, I will ask him, how have you loved me so? And that really stands out in my mind as a perfect question to ask our Lord. How could it be that you would love me so? I wasn't worthy of it. Neither were you, my friends. None of us were. And yet he loved us with an unchangeable love, an everlasting love, a love that is so, so wonderful and so great for you and for me who aren't worthy of it. And Naomi is expressing that same kind of amazement with Boaz accepting her in his field the way he was. She fell to her feet, to her knees, and she said to him, why have I found favor in your eyes? Boaz answered in verse 11 and says, it has been fully reported to me all that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, and how you have left your father and your mother and the land of your birth, and have come to a people whom you did not know before. Naomi, you chose the good thing. Remember when Martha was in the kitchen making ready for a meal that was to be presented while Jesus was there teaching? And Martha looked over to her sister, Mary. And Mary was just sitting comfortably by the feet of Jesus, listening to every word. And Martha finally spoke out and said, Lord, will you not tell Mary to come and help me? And Jesus' answer was so wonderful. He said, Martha, Martha, your sister Mary has chosen the better part. In other words, her desire to learn at Jesus' feet was a greater thing for her than preparing a meal for him. She chose the better part. And here we're seeing Boaz telling Naomi and rather Ruth that she has chosen the good thing, to do what she has done, to come with Naomi back into the land that she did not know anything about. She didn't know the customs. She didn't know the people. She left her own home and trusted that everything would work out the way they should. It was an expression of her trust in the God of Naomi. Remember, when they left Moab, the words of Ruth were very clear to her. When Ruth said, I will go with you, your people will be my people, and your God, my God. She meant it. Now, Boaz is recognizing this wonderful character in this woman, this young woman named Ruth. He says in, or rather, verse 13, she says, let me find favor in your sight, my Lord, for you have comforted me and have spoken kindly to your maidservant. Though I am not like one of your maidservants, I'm not worthy. I'm not one of your own. That was not a problem as far as Boaz was concerned. In fact, Boaz seems to be very attracted to this young woman. It tells us in verse 14, now Boaz said to her at mealtime, come here and eat of the bread and dip your piece of bread in the vinegar. And so she sat beside the reapers, and he passed parched grain to her, and she ate and was satisfied and kept some back. So not only did he allow her to do the gleaning, but he allowed her to sit at his table and to dip her bread into the mixture of vinegar and wine, which was an offer of communion. When you ate from the same table and took the bread and dipped it in the same cup as she was invited to do, that was an invitation to eat with him, to sup with him. And it was a great honor for her to have received that invitation. So all of these things that are coming through here to us are giving us strong indication that there's an attraction already, that Ruth has made an impression on this older man, Boaz. Notice he's called her my daughter, a respectful address, if you will. She sat with him, and not only did she eat the grain that he'd given to her, but he gave her more than she needed. And so she ate what she was comfortable with, she was satisfied, and she took the remainder and kept it back. She stored it. She must have had it in a bag that she could put next to her or on her waist belt or whatever to hold it so that she could either use it later if she needed it, or as it turns out, she has another purpose in mind. But it says in verse 15, and when she rose up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves, and do not reproach her. Exceedingly abundantly he is providing for her. And that's another example that reminds me of our Lord. He gives exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. She never would have expected anyone to have given her such favor. She was only expecting the grain to glean as much as she was allowed, as much as was left behind by the reapers, and no more. But she's finding an abundance here that is so very, very amazing to her. In fact, verse 16 says, also, again, Boaz is instructing the reapers, let grain from the bundles fall purposely for her, they'll have already bundled the grain up, and he's saying, let some of that grain fall. Not only that, he says, leave it that she may glean and do not rebuke her. So she gleaned in the field until evening and beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. Now that's about 30 pounds by most estimates as far as the measures of the day were concerned. Perhaps it could have been a little more or a little less, but nonetheless, that was a good harvest for one woman to take home. Amazing that Boaz had blessed her so. Indeed, he did give exceeding abundantly above all that she could ask or think. Verse 18 says, then she took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. And so she brought out and gave to her what she had kept back after she had been satisfied. Remember that parchment of grain, parched grain that she had set aside. She now gives that to Naomi. No need to give her any of the barley yet. She's going to feed her with the excess that he had given to her at lunch. She's sharing the blessing. That again is another illustration of the character of this young lady. Verse 19 says, and her mother-in-law said to her, where have you gleaned today? And where did you work? Blessed be the one who took notice of you. So she told her mother-in-law with whom she had worked and said, the man's name with whom I work today is Boaz. Up until this time, Naomi didn't know anything about her day, where she had gone. But now that she's revealed, this is what Naomi has to share with this young woman, Ruth. Verse 20. Then Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, blessed be he of the Lord, who has not forsaken his kindness to the living and the dead. And Naomi said to her, this man is a relation of ours, one of our close relatives. This man is related to us, but not only that, he is, in the Hebrew language, a goel. Now the word goel takes special meaning under the law of Moses. In that day, and many years afterwards, the custom of Israel, based upon the law that was given by Moses, was such that if a man was married and he had no children, and that man died, the widow of that man would be allowed to take one of the nearest of kin of that man to marry her, and through him bear a child on behalf of the dead man. That is a goel, a kinsman redeemer. And it was intended to keep that property that was owned by that dead man in the family. It protected the property rights of that man and his legacy. Now, Naomi was the close relative. But Naomi considered herself really too old to take advantage of that particular law of Moses. And we'll find out in chapter 3 that she is willing to pass on that right to Ruth. This is a very unusual, and I don't know of any other mention of it in the Word of God, so I think it's probably exclusive to this relationship that Ruth and Boaz are about to enter into. He is a goel for Naomi. Ruth is going to become the recipient of that blessing. And through Ruth, Naomi will be able to pass on the land that belonged to her husband to Ruth's children. Though she herself could not have children, Ruth would be her surrogate. But verse 21 continues with the story, and she says, Ruth speaking, Ruth the Moabitess said, he also said to me, you shall stay close by my young men until they have finished all my harvest. again, she's reminding Naomi that he has promised her protection. And Naomi said to Ruth, verse 22, her daughter-in-law, "It is good, my daughter, that you go out with this, his young women, and that people do not meet you in any other field." That word, meet you, is a word that can be translated, and it is most of the time, attack you, or do you harm. So again, she's suggesting that it would be dangerous for Ruth to go anywhere else. Since she's had this wonderful offer by Boaz, she knows that he will indeed follow through with his promise to protect her. And that is an assurance to Naomi that things are working out very, very well indeed for them both. Remember when they came back to Israel, and all of the women greeted Naomi and Ruth, and they said, "Is this Naomi?" And Naomi said, "Don't call me Naomi any longer," which means pleasant. Remember, she said, "Call me Mara instead," which means bitter. Her life had been bitter because of all the pain that she had suffered and that Ruth had also suffered. They together were experiencing some very, very difficult times. I don't believe it's fair to blame God in this, and I don't believe Naomi was blaming God, although it did say that the Lord brought me home empty. That is true. But she's not saying that in an accusatory way against God. She's just stating the facts. And I know that there are some who would believe that Naomi made a terrible mistake to go to Moab and that she was bitter against God and that she was sinning in doing so. There's no proof of that in this context. Not at all. I prefer to think that Naomi was struggling with her conditions, struggling with her circumstances, but not really blaming God, but she recognized that God was allowing it. Very much like Job was allowing to admit in his day that God had brought on him all of those terrible tragedies that resulted in a terrible set of circumstances for him. But in that, the Word of God tells us that Job did not sin because he said, "The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." We'll find that Naomi recognizes God's hand in all of this and gives God the glory for it as we move forward. But verse 23, the last verse of the chapter that we're in, says, "So she stayed close by the women of Boaz to glean until the end of barley harvest and wheat harvest, and she dwelt with her mother-in-law." Now the barley harvest was in late April, early May, and several weeks later the wheat harvest would be taken in the first harvest of the year in June. So about 6 weeks of time that she's been in Boaz's fields, going in day by day to glean from that harvest that was provided for her and Naomi. It gave them a great start and plenty of provision to last them many, many days. But there was still the issue of them being women in a male-dominated society. And they had to trust in the Lord in how that was all going to work out. And when we get into the next chapters, and we'll get a little bit into chapter 3, but not very far, we'll find that God again is working those things out. They're planning their ways, but God is directing their steps. Verse 1 of chapter 3 says, "Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, 'My daughter, shall I not seek security for you that I may be well with you? I want the very best for you that we can ever possibly have, and I've got a plan,' she's saying. 'Now Boaz, whose young women you were with, is he not our relative? In fact, he is winnowing barley tonight at the threshing floor. Therefore, wash yourself and anoint yourself, put on your best garment and go down to the threshing floor, but do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking. Then it shall be, when he lies down, that you shall notice the place where he lies, and you shall go in, uncover his feet, and lie down, and he will tell you what you should do. The plan is this. Naomi is doing very wisely here. She recognizes that Boaz has shown interest in Ruth. Now it says that it's still at the very end of the barley harvest that this particular conversation is taking place. So Ruth has been going daily for a period of time. We're not told how many days now, but she's obviously seen that there is an expressed interest in the welfare of Naomi and Ruth in particular that Boaz has apparently expressed. And so she's now telling Ruth, here's a plan. This is what you need to do if we're ever going to have that which we need to survive through a very long season before the next harvest. We need to find you a husband. And this is how we're going to do it. And so that's what she's basically telling Ruth to begin that process. And Ruth responds with, all that you ask me to do, I will do. Obedience, another characteristic of this young lady who is such a wonderful type of us, the church. Obedience in every detail, willing to not resist, willing to trust, willing to obey. Samuel had said to Saul, you may remember, when Saul offered a sacrifice that was not to be offered, obedience is better than sacrifice. Obedience is a very important aspect of the walk that we walk. It's not because we have to obey God to earn our salvation, not at all. But it is expected that we should be obedient to our God in response to what He has done for us. And that's exactly what Ruth is now being willing to do, to be obedient to what Naomi is instructing her to do. She went down to the threshing floor, verse 6, and did according to all that her mother-in-law instructed her. And after Boaz had eaten and drunk, his heart was cheerful. He went to lie down at the end of the heap of grain, and she came softly, uncovered his feet, and lay down. Now it happened at midnight that the man was startled and turned himself, and there a woman was lying at his feet. He didn't even know it. And he said, who are you? And so she answered, I am Ruth, your maidservant. Take your maidservant under your wing, for you are a goel, a close relative. She's basically proposing to Boaz. She's suggesting that he is the one that she needs to have as a husband in order to fulfill the requirement of the Levirate law that Naomi had spoke to her about. I am Ruth, your maidservant. Take your maidservant under your wing, for you are my goel. Then he said to her, verse 10, and we'll stop here. Blessed are you of the Lord, my daughter, for you have shown more kindness at the end than at the beginning, in that you did not go after young men, whether poor or rich. That tells me that Boaz was indeed older than her by a number of years, perhaps. He's recognizing the fact that she could have had anyone that she would have perhaps been interested in. But she's expressed her desire to become his wife in fulfillment of that which was expected under the law of Moses. And he's willing to do it, more than willing. He's excited about it. We're going to find out in our study the next time that it's not as easy as they would both like it to be. But we'll save that for our next time together, the Lord willing. But keep in mind what we've seen so far in this passage that we've looked at today. Both of these individuals, Boaz and Ruth, have demonstrated character and integrity and a willingness to do that which was right in the sight of God. Boaz is indeed, and will be proven to be so, a kinsman redeemer, which is a type of what Jesus is for us, for he is indeed our kinsman redeemer, our Goel. And we, like Ruth, have been blessed, though we are unworthy of those blessings, because we've been outsiders until we came to know him as our Lord and Savior, as our kinsman redeemer. We've entered into a relationship with him, though undeservedly he has given us exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think. What a beautiful picture of redemption this story is. A beautiful picture of the love of God that he has for us and the love that we are to have for him. So again, until then, next time, grace and peace, my friends. God bless.